and to present a little bit of what's going on with this collaborative initiative that started last year. And the reason it kind of got started was because there used to be a U.S.-Mexico Border Health Association, UCHUMBA, or AFMES in Spanish. And that closed in 2010, so I don't have any relationships to disclose, commercial one.
But that you want to tell us about, right?
Of those kinds, right. I forgot to switch the slides. I went right into the history. So this association, well, our own office is the oldest, the Pan American Sanitary Bureau. That's the legal name of it, and it's called the Pan American Health Organization since 1948. But it started in 1902, and it's the oldest health organization still functioning. There are older ones, but that folded, right? In 1942, our own office on the U.S.-Mexico border was created, and it will be closed this year. In 1943, this U.S.-Mexico Border Health Association was started, and it closed in 2010. This particular organization also helped create the Binational Health Council. So it was kind of like the affiliates for the APHA, the Binational Health Councils, which are called COBINAS because it's in Spanish, Consejo Binacional de Salud, were created in, there are 16 now. I don't know how they got created year by year, but they're binational, they are more, there are people from the health services, officials from the health services, but there's mostly a lot of professionals that are not necessarily a governmental institution. Even though the big umbrella organization folded, those binational health councils continue to meet and continue to work very much to look at the issues that are common to both of them in the U.S.-Mexico border. So there are constituents from the Mexican side and constituents from the U.S. side. And then in 1948, when the World Health Organization was created, PAHO became the regional office. And from 2000 to present, I didn't finish this slide. There are two commissions that got created. One with NAFTA was the Border Environmental Cooperation Commission that works a lot on environmental issues, environmental health, environment, infrastructure, and then the U.S.-Mexico Border Health Commission, which is also created. And both of them continue, are good and well. So last year, because we had received a lot of requests and questionings as to what could be done to have an association where that void of the AFMES kind of left, we brought together a lot of people, some ex-presidents of the association, academic people, you know, deans of the schools of public health and of health sciences from both sides. And we had a discussion and heard them, had a small group discussion to find out what exactly was it they were missing from the other organization that we should think about in a new type of organization, either association or society, or what is it that people wanted. And also, what is it that went wrong with that one so we don't repeat that? You know, what happened, why did that fold, and how could we avoid making the same mistakes? So we invited some folks, including Dr. George Benjamin, and also at that time the president of the Mexican Society for Public Health, which is Dr. Cuitlahuac Ruiz, who is now head of epidemiology in the Ministry of Health in Mexico, and began to draft this MOU. And the purpose of the MOU, well, was through, it was an agreement between the three organizations, PAHO, APHA, and the Mexican Society of Public Health, to jointly, you know, explore how we would do this initiative to improve the health and well-being of people who lived in the border. And so this was drafted, and it went back and forth. Several months of it went back and forth, and it finally got signed. And here's the pictures of these two gentlemen who were in El Paso and who addressed about 200 people, more or less. Catherine was there with us. And the areas of cooperation was to accomplish this MOU. The parties will share information, technical expertise. They would undertake such activities agreed by all three, which may support and share missions of these organizations. And some of the activities were developed in these terms of reference that I'm going to show you some. Form a working group. So let's form a working group that would have some representation from both sides and from the affiliates of both the society and the association, and to discuss what kind of public health organization they would be created on the border. Collaborate in preparing proposals to mobilize resources, obviously, so that this could come to fruition, and encourage participation with the border state associations, obviously. And here are some of the pictures of the folks who were there. Dr. Rosas, who was our director at the time, was there also and inaugurated that. And we have the deans of the School of Public Health, Dr. Curtis, who's here from UTEP, from the Texas Tech University, and also from the University of Houston, who were there, and from the University of Ciudad Juarez, who were on that border. Other terms of reference were to collaborate in the organization of border health events, so that whenever one of the affiliates had their meetings, such as Catherine did in Texas, we would try and support folks from the other side to go to the meeting, which is what we did. We invited the president of the Tamaulipas Society for Public Health and participated in that. We also invited the ones from Nuevo León. For some reason, at the last minute, she wasn't able to go. But and so they had a meeting within that meeting to kind of say, how can we continue to collaborate and support this initiative? So the events are for intellectual exchange, for technical and scientific meetings, and other means, even training. You know, we could have a workshop, like most associations do, or societies have a workshop before or after. Another term of reference of this memorandum of understanding was to collaborate in developing a proposal for periodic and continual border exchange mechanisms, communication and dissemination. This could be a journal, but we didn't want to put a journal because that takes a whole lot of money and, you know, is a little bit more elaborate. But you could do electronic newsletters, web page, Facebook, Twitter, those sorts of things. So we were thinking about doing that. And disseminate information about border health events among the members of all three organizations, and especially the affiliates on the border. Include border health issues and news in events and dissemination materials of all the organizations. So we had already started a border health panel back in 2008 when APHA had their meeting in San Diego. And we continue to support that every year, having a border health panel, which is going on upstairs in the Douglas Room. And the idea was to continue to support those kinds of things. We also started a border health panel at the annual meeting of the Mexican Society for Public Health, which last year was in Pachuca. This year is going to be in San Luis Potosí. The other thing was to contribute to strengthening border health associations and societies, the affiliates on either side. And so that's what Dr. Iturralde, Gustavo, and myself have been trying to do. First was to identify who they were, and Catherine has helped us, who's the presidents, where they are, what kind of activities they have planned, so we can bring together the other side of the border. And the same with the Mexican side. The only state that doesn't have an affiliate is Coahuila. We have identified all the other five states because there's six on the Mexican side and four on the U.S. side. So our commitments were in accordance with our own rules, BAJO and WHO, and subject to availability of resources, obviously, to provide technical cooperation through our own facilities, which is the border office, which unfortunately is going to be closing this year. We won't have a border office, so the Washington office and the Mexico City office are going to have to do the follow-up on this memorandum of understanding. APHA also will provide assistance in according with its principles and philosophy, subject to the availability of resources, and this is taken right out of the Memorandum of Understanding, and in harmony with its strategic priorities through its facilities and specialized expert services. And the Mexican Society for Public Health will provide assistance in accordance also with its principles, and depending on the availability of resources, the same sort of thing. So what progress have we made? And this is part of what Gustavo was going to share with you. Well, the report from that meeting was finished and was sent around to all the people who participated. And I just realized that maybe it didn't go beyond those people who participated in the September 7th meeting of last year. And we need to send it around to more people or put it up on the website so and let people know that it's there. And the Memorandum of Understanding also in English and Spanish. All of these materials are in both languages. Besides being circulated to all three parties, really need to be put up so people know about them, about this agreement. It was signed. It was signed by the new director, Dr. Etienne, our new director of PAHO, and also by Dr. Benjamin, and by Dr. Roldan, because in the meantime, the Mexican Society had changes in president, so Dr. Roldan from Tabasco is the new president, and she came up to Matamoros, Tamaulipas, when they had their meeting and signed the agreement there. We also committed to organizing the working group to identify people, you know, and have this working group develop a business plan for this new association and also projects to mobilize resources. And to support the exchange of experiences, such as the one that happened in Texas with Tamaulipas being invited, and other activities. So the idea was from now on to keep in touch with all affiliates and try and nourish more of that. So we identify the contacts of all of them in Texas, in New Mexico, Arizona, and California, and also in Tamaulipas, Nuevo León. I mentioned that Coahuila does not have an affiliate. Chihuahua does. It's in Chihuahua City. They're in the process of doing like subgroups in Ciudad Juarez as well. Tamaulipas already did a subsection of their state affiliate in Matamoros and so on. Baja California is now in about to change because they have elections. So we're waiting a bit to see who the new person will. The other next step was to carry out process of consultation with all the stakeholders. So the working group would be in contact with people from each one of their states to see if that's what people wanted and how they were going. And to organize both, you know, small personal meetings in different places, as well as virtual consultations and conferences with all the affiliates. So that's how we are, and we're not sure how we're going to continue, but we'll keep in touch.
Thank you very much. Do you have time for a couple of questions?
Sure.
Okay. A couple of questions for Dr. Sacchetta. And Dr. Iturralde?
Maria Teresa, please. Any volunteers?
No.
It'd be good to have
a
group.
Well,
sure. When are the offices closed?
That's a good question. We really don't know. We weren't told. We were just told that it was going to be closed. It was requested by HHS.
You might want to add that your evaluation was extremely positive.
Oh, yes. Before we were told to close, they asked us to do an evaluation, which was done, and it was analyzed by two different independent universities on the border, and it came out very positive. In fact, some of the folks that were interviewed or that answered the monkey survey even wrote in, you know, please don't close the office like they closed the AFMIS years ago. But it didn't happen. So we really don't know. In El Paso, Texas.
Okay.
Yes. It's been there since 42.
And I'm not sure if you spoke about this, but what new projects do you do for the future?
We don't really have ideas about that because it'll have to be undertaken by either the Washington office of PAHO or the Mexico City office or a group from either one of the associations that would want to take this on as a personal project or a university project or something.
Fill the void.
Yeah, really.
It's going to take all of the affiliates
really,
to fill that void.
It really will.
What possible implications do you see that would be felt in that area when Popper closes their
office? Well, there were very few organizations that worked across the border, all states and both countries. And AFMIS was one of them, and we were one of them. So now you only have the two commissions left, the BEC, the Border Environmental Cooperation Commission, and the U.S.-Mexico Border Health Commission. And BEC mostly responds to the NADBANC, the North American Development Bank, and NAFTA, North American Free Trade Agreement, and the U.S.-Mexico Border Health Commission responds mostly to what the states and the federal governments. So I think there'll be lots of implications. Right now, we haven't done that analysis, but we're hoping that that will be done soon. So either office will, yeah.
So Dr. Maria Cereza has been retiring, having the office closed, and reading all of my massive amounts of emails to organize this session, and thank you so very much for being
You're
here.
Welcome.
Thank you.
We will be in touch.
One more round of applause.